Hello everybody, it's me, Mr. Tall23, back with another video, and I was experiencing some internet difficulties, that's why the video cut out, and I don't want to do it live anymore. I'm just going to pre-record the video and upload it later. So, if you're wondering why I stopped just all of a sudden, it's because of that, it's because the internet stopped working for a second. So, anyway, thankfully that was at the end of point four, reason number four that I was making there. So I want to continue on now with reason number five. Remember, reason four is that Jesus Christ has perfected us forever. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are sanctified, and that is not just now, but the Bible says forever. So going on into reason number five, why we cannot lose our salvation. The Bible teaches us that the blood of Jesus Christ, which washes away our sins, gives us eternal redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 to 14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now the word eternal means it never ends. It's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple word to understand. It lasts forever. If the scriptures say that Jesus obtained eternal redemption for us when he entered into the holy place with his own blood, that means that redemption is forever. The word redemption means the purchasing of something by paying off a debt and buying freedom. So we were servants to sin, according to John 8:34. Jesus says that before we're saved, we are servants to sin, but we are made free through the power of the blood of Christ. The scriptures show us that it is the blood which makes redemption. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So unlike the blood of the bulls and the goats offered in the Old Testament sacrifices, in which the high priest needed to oftentimes enter into the holy place at least once every year for the people and then for his own sins, Jesus Christ, as we've already seen, offered himself one time and entered into the holy place one time. And by it, he obtained eternal redemption for us. Why? Because his blood is not corruptible, but precious and without blemish and spot. Therefore, the Bible says of the same blood that it is the blood of the everlasting covenant in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Jesus' eternal blood is still on the mercy seat in the tabernacle of heaven. And if you have been redeemed by that same blood, the Bible says that you are redeemed forever. It is eternal redemption. The scriptures say that it is iniquity that we are redeemed from. In Titus 2, 14, it says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Meaning, Jesus had bought us from sin. Although we were the servants of sin, we have been made free from that, and we now belong to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So this is redemption, that God has bought us back. He has purchased us with his own blood, and therefore our bodies and our spirits are God's, meaning we belong to him. But this is not temporary. Nowhere does it say we are redeemed until we backslide. We are redeemed until we decide to turn away from God. Just as Jesus has perfected us forever by the offering of his own body, he has redeemed the justified forever. It is eternal. It is never-ending redemption. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 9. If you belong to God because your sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, you belong to him forever. He has redeemed you forever. To deny this is to not deny the power of Jesus' sacrifice. Now, reason number six is that Jesus continues making intercession for us even to this day. After he rose from the dead and ascended up into heaven to offer his own blood in the heavenly tabernacle, the Bible says that when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It is written in Romans 8:34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Hebrews 7:25 again says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See, the work of Jesus Christ is still going on to this day. As we speak, Jesus is up in heaven, sitting on the right hand of God and making intercession for us, meaning he is intervening on our behalf. We in this world still might sin, but Jesus stands in our place as the advocate unto the Father, as it talks about also in 1 John 2:1. It says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It is the devil who is called the accuser of the brethren in the book of Revelation, the one who goes into heaven and day and night accuses us for our sins. But Jesus, as our intercessor, eternally stands on our behalf. It says he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He eternally stands on our behalf and points God to his own redeeming blood. Okay? No matter what the devil says, no matter who accuses us, no matter who tries to condemn us, as it talks about in Romans 8:34, it is Christ who is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. He still works to this day to keep us saved. And we'll see that more later, that our salvation is not dependent upon us, but on the unchanging eternal God, which is what the scriptures teach over and over again. We are kept by the power of God, it says. Another reason, reason number seven of why we cannot lose our salvation, is because when we are born again, we die along with Christ to sin, but are made alive to God. Now, this is an amazing truth that many Christians really need to realize, that if you are a Christian, you have already died. This is part of what the Bible means when it says over and over again that we are in Christ, that we have been made partakers of his crucifixion and his resurrection. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 11, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in verse 6 it is stated that our old man is crucified with him, with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. See, at this point, if you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, your old man, that is the flesh, although we still feel it, although it's still present here on this earth, it is as good as dead. In the sight of God, our old man has already died. It's already faced the punishment for sin. Now, why is that? Because Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree, as we talked about earlier. We are crucified with him because those sins of the old man, those sins of our flesh, were placed upon him. He became sins for us and died for those sins and put those sins down in hell. So the old man, the flesh, is as good as dead as if it were nailed on the cross alongside Christ. When we got saved, we died with Christ, the Bible says. But also, we rose again from the dead with him as well, as it says in verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And verse 9 tells us what manner of life this is. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead with his incorruptible and immortal body of flesh and bones, death no longer had any power over him. But the Bible says that he dieth no more. But the scriptures say that we are in the likeness of his resurrection if we have died with him, meaning that we too can die no more. That's taught throughout the scriptures, that we have eternal life, and I'll talk about that more later, that the Bible says over and over again that we have eternal life if we have believed in Jesus. It's probably going to be the next video or the one after that. It's going to take a while to get to that because there's a lot of points I want to get to. But the point is that if you are a Christian, you have already died with Christ and you are risen together with him, meaning death too has no more dominion over you. The Bible says further in Romans chapter 8, verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So through faith in Christ, according to the Bible, we receive the Holy Spirit of God. It teaches that in John chapter 7, verses 38 to 39, and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And if the Spirit of Christ dwells within us, according to the scripture, if Christ is in us, as we are in Christ, our bodies are already dead because of sin. We deserve the death penalty for sin, and we indeed face that death penalty when our sins transferred onto Christ when he was on the cross. It again says in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verses 19 to 20, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Again, if you are a Christian and Christ lives within you, you have already been crucified with him, the Bible says. Your sins have already been paid for. You have already died because of sin. The death penalty has already been inflicted. But Christ rose up again. You are in the likeness of his resurrection, so that the Spirit continues to live through Christ that liveth in you. Remember, these heretics who teach that you can lose your salvation will often say that the way that we live our life and the sins that we commit after we get saved determine whether or not we ultimately go to heaven or go to hell. But if anybody says that to you, realize you have already died in your sins. You have already died because of those sins that you have committed. You have already been crucified and went to hell when the sins of your old man were imputed onto Jesus Christ, and he faced that penalty in your place. And in doing so, when we get saved, the Bible says our body of sin is destroyed and we are made alive with everlasting life. So you have already died and risen again, and death has no more dominion over you if you are a Christian. That has already taken place. Okay, you don't have to worry and think, well, am I going to be a partaker of the resurrection? The Bible says we're already in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around this, but remember, God is outside of time. The Bible says that the Lord inhabiteth eternity. The way that he sees us is not the same way that we see ourselves. God, who has already guaranteed us salvation, even though from our perspective this body is still here, from the perspective of God, it is destroyed. It is dead. It is gone already, and we are immortal. Now, I'll talk more on that a bit later, but I want to get to reason eight, is that salvation is a free gift by grace. And many will agree with this. Many who say that you can lose your salvation will say, well, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe salvation is by grace through faith. Any Methodist out there will probably tell you they believe salvation is by grace through faith, and it's not of works. Many Christians will at least say that salvation is by grace, but then they'll turn around and they'll say, well, if you don't do any works after being justified, then you're not really saved. Now, first of all, Romans 11:6 proves that grace and works are completely non-compatible. Okay, it says, if it be of grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. Because grace, by definition, means that you don't earn it. It's undeserved. Okay, while working for it means that you do earn it. You do deserve it. Okay, you can't have both. That doesn't make any sense. They're contradictory to each other. If it's by grace, then it can't be of works, because works is the opposite of what grace is. So it's obvious they don't understand what grace means, but every Christian will just use that word. They'll say, we're saved by grace. The Catholics will say that. We're saved by grace. But then they teach that you're justified by works. Okay, they teach that once you have your sins forgiven, that you still need to live a good life and you could still go to hell. They'll say, well, God, you lose God's grace because of the works that you do. That doesn't make any sense. Now, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Here it mentions the free gift, and this gift comes by grace. This gift is the gift of salvation, as it is written in Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Therefore, our salvation and our eternal life is something which is a gift, and it comes by grace, meaning we don't earn it, we don't pay for it, it is given unto us by God out of his own grace. The fact that it is by grace means that we don't deserve it, okay? That's what grace means. It means undeserved favor. When the Lord saves us by his grace, that means we didn't do anything to earn it. That means we don't deserve it. Nobody deserves to go to heaven in the first place. We cannot earn it through our works, but we must receive the gift through faith. In fact, there's no mixing between grace and works whatsoever, as mentioned earlier, because of what Romans 11:6 says, where it says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. If our salvation had anything to do with our works, then it would not be by grace. The fact that it is by grace, as stated in Ephesians 2:8 and Titus 2:11 and several other places, means that we are saved completely apart from our own works. Or as it says in Ephesians 2, it is not of ourselves. It's not about us, okay? Salvation is of the Lord, the Bible says over and over again in the Old Testament. It's free. We don't earn it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 to 9, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So if God has saved you, it was according to his grace, and this grace was already given to us before the world began, the Bible says. And I'll talk about that a bit more later. But God, who is omniscient, already knew those who would believe and bestowed his grace upon us and saved us already. If you are saved, it is through God's grace. If any works were involved, it would not be grace. I can't emphasize that enough. Now here's one last scripture to prove that. Romans chapter 4, verses 4 to 5. "Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." The reason why I'm making this point is because a lot of people who say we're saved by grace don't really mean it. Roman Catholics will talk about being saved by grace, but they don't understand what that means. Because they'll say, "Well, yeah, we're justified by grace, but you can only remain in grace depending on how you live." Well, then they don't believe we're saved by grace. Okay? Salvation, according to the Bible, according to Matthew 1:21 and Romans 5:9, is being saved or delivered from our sins and the punishment for our sins, which is the wrath of God and death. If you think deliverance from sin and its consequences, which would be death and hell, is dependent upon the works that you do, then you don't believe it's by grace. If you think that, well, I don't have the works, so I'm not eventually going to go to heaven, I'm not going to be saved from my sins, you don't believe it's by grace. You believe it's by works. It's that simple. And that's especially so for all the people out there who will say, "Well, we're justified by grace, but once you have your previous sins taken away, then you still have to live a good life, otherwise you'll go to hell." The Hebrew Roots movement teaches this. Michael Root teaches that we're not even saved yet until the coming of Christ, and that our obedience during this life determines whether or not we get eternal life. But that's heresy. Charles Grand Heretic Finney taught the same thing. He said that the condition of final salvation is continued holiness until the end of our life. And there's many other examples of that. But the point is, they don't believe our salvation is by grace. They believe it's of ourselves. They believe it's by our own works, our own obedience, our own holiness. While the Bible teaches it's free, you don't have to earn it. It's a gift given by grace, meaning you don't deserve it in the first place. You don't have to pay for it. It's just given to you. All you have to do is believe, and you'll receive it. Salvation has nothing to do with works. So if we're going to be saved, it is by the grace of God only. Grace alone and nothing else. Saying that whether or not we stay saved until the end is dependent upon our own works is contradictory to the clear teaching of Scripture and shows that these people don't understand what grace is. So I'm going to stop right there. Originally, I just wanted to stop right here with the full video. So this whole video, I guess, was going to be like 40, 50 something minutes. So I'm going to stop right here and continue. I don't think tomorrow, but maybe in a couple days, like Thursday or Friday. Or Friday, actually, I'm going to do the series on the Book of Romans, but I'll probably pick it up on Thursday again. And like I said, this is going to be quite long now because my internet cut out. There's probably going to be like 7 videos in this series now instead of just 6. So thank everybody for watching. That's it today. That's it for today. Thank you for watching. God bless you. And goodbye.